Okay, two things. It says come on, resolve me next name clause of Torah Kula, because they are the whole entire Torah. We didn't get shortchanged at Sinai. We heard the Torah. Okay, and how was it so? Because the word Anochi, just that word. Okay, Anochi is the formal word for I in Hebrew. Okay, you normally say Ani, but you have Anochi. The letter Aleph is the abbreviation for the word Anochi. The letter Aleph is also the abbreviation for the word Echad, which is an abbreviation for Hashem.
Right.
So when Hashem said Anochi, we're getting the entirety of what Hashem wants. Just with just even that one word. But he did us a favor and said, okay, you know what, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'll give you some positive, some negative. Rather than just giving us the whole thing. Such that what happened, it's not that the Jews only heard two commandments. And Moshe went and said, okay, you know what, listen up. I'm telling you 611. Okay, as the Rambam says, and he's quoting the Gemara, that Torah tziva lanu Moshe, that Moshe commanded us the Torah to the Jewish people, and the word Torah is 611, is numerical value plus the two commandments that we heard straight from God equals Torah, which is the 613 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Not even that. Moshe said, okay, today we're going to talk about Tefillin. Which when you think about it, you imagine such a foreign concept.
Right.
Okay, Moshe's going to say, listen, this is what I want you to do from now on. Okay, we want you to go kill an animal. I want you to take its hide and press it in some kind of a press,
right,
and make it into these square boxes and tan them so that they're really hard and paint them black and shiny and put black shiny straps through them and write four parchments in the inside and sew it up with sheep nerve and put them on every day. Okay, this is definitely what you would call a strange thing. Okay, for somebody totally and completely uninitiated, tefillin are weird.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, they are so totally and completely uniquely Jewish.
Yeah.
There was no parallel to anything like tefillin.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, and people who have never seen them stop and gawk. What is that? Okay, this is, I probably told you the story about when I was flying to,
The stewardess
of Texas, yeah, you heard that story already. Okay, so it wasn't all that long ago that I told the story.
It's
okay.
Stuck in my mind.
Yeah, so it's a story that's going to stick in your mind. And that's just, people don't understand the whole business. When I was doing, I remember quite clearly, I was doing the Mitzrayim on Keene College. Which used to be called New Jersey State Teachers College, but then they changed the name to Keene when they broadened the curriculum. And Union, New Jersey had maybe, I don't know, 500-600 students in the whole campus. And we're standing in the commons, and I was putting tefillin on a guy. Okay? And this guy who was, I can just describe the guy as a mullock. Just came up and just started laughing and said, what a ridiculous thing you're doing.
Yeah, she said that?
Yeah, he said that's the most stupidest thing I've ever seen. Just started laughing. Okay? So, yeah. Well, he's actually right, because this is really this is a very weird-looking thing that we do.
Yeah.
Okay? So Moses comes down and he says, okay, folks, this is what we're getting today. Nobody said, oh, come on. Are you serious? We got to do what? Isn't it enough that we already have the low seen off the don't commit adultery thing? You want us to do this tefillin thing every day?
Yeah, if Korach was going to get bent out of shape, why get bent out of shape about a blue thread?
Yeah. There's lots of things to get bent out of shape about, sure.
If you want to get bent out of shape.
Okay. But nobody did. Yeah. Everybody went.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, is what the response was. What they heard, they got the Anochi. The Anochi went right into their brains. Okay? They had no way of processing it. They had no idea what they heard. How do we know? Because look what it says. Hashem says, Shomer Esav Shabbos Lekadsho. God, keep the Shabbos. Meisha says, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Okay, or vice versa. Okay, one says Shomer, one says Zachar. Rashi comes up and says, "Hi, what's going on?" So we have Shomer v'Zachar v'Dibur Echad, something which you're not allowed to, that you can't hear, you can't say. God said simultaneously Shomer and Zachar, the positive and the negative. And what they heard, when they were told what they heard, they said, "Oh yeah, I heard Shomer and Zachar, now that you mention it." So they heard Shomer and Zachar, they heard Tefillin, and they heard Tzitzis, and they heard Shabbos, and they heard etc. All 613 commandments they heard, so that when Moshe came to them and said, "This is the mitzvah we're going to discuss today," they all said, yeah, now that you mention it, I did hear that one. Because Hashem gave us the whole entire Torah. It is deep within sight, each and every single one of us. Because we were all there at Sinai. This is all deeply implanted, deeply rooted within our, I don't even want to say subconscious, it's even more than that, into who we are.
Yeah. Imprinted.
Yes. Lever Hativ Inyan Zeh, to understand this, we have to, now it gets hard. Lever Zeh Tzarech Lahaskir Techila Biksara Inyan Mahus Achdusa Shalakarish Boruchu. We have to understand what is Hashem's unity. That we refer to it as Yachid Umiyuchad, singular and unique. Okay, the word unity, when we think united, so what do we think? We think the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Which I never understood the word indivisible, because we divided it into 50 states.
Right.
And you can do that. It is a confederate of 50, pardon the expressions, but yes. The South will not rise again, sorry. It is a confederate of 50 states that are joined together
shows what you know.
With a common purpose. Okay? That's what is holding together all these, because if you look, you know, we Americans are so parochial, but if you put the United States over Europe, you know, California like in France,
uh-huh.
So New York is like in the middle of Uzbekistan someplace, you know? It's just like Great Lakes area, you would have like 30 countries speaking 30 different languages and formally having 30 different currencies.
Right.
You know, we just don't recognize, we don't appear, you know, appreciate that.
Yeah, we can't get there.
Okay?
We can't get there.
So Hashem's not a composition. You know, you look at a house. How many houses do you live in?
One.
Okay. Your house is made up of a compilation of a whole bunch of bricks
Right. That
have been cemented together. And I could point out, we could count every single one of the bricks.
Yes.
They maintain, even though it's one house.
Right.
Each brick maintains its singularity and its own identity.
Correct.
Even though it's lost it in the big picture of becoming your house,
right.
But we can still count them.
Yeah.
Every single one of those bricks, we could put a number on it, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a Rebbe whose name I don't remember, who had a tremendous ability of observation.
Mm.
Somebody once asked him, "How many bricks are in this building?" So he gave a look up and he gave this number, like, you know, 4,372,822. So the guy said, "How did you do that? You didn't count." And he says, "Wait a minute." So he held up his hand, put up five fingers. He said, "How many fingers do you see?" He says, "I see five." He says, "But you didn't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He says, "Because I see five." He says, "That's fine. You see five. I see 4,382,722. Okay, so the brick maintains their identity. So that's not called unified.
True.
Okay? In fact, there really is no good example.
United but not unified.
Yeah. There's no good example of Hashem's unity.
Mm.
He tries to give a couple in Shar Yochid Ve'emuna.
Mm.
And he's going to give one over here. Like, for example, when you think. And he doesn't even do it exactly like this. When you the thought before you think it. It's only completely united with yourself. It's unified with you. That's before you think it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He gives the example of a sun ray in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Before the sun emits the ray, so the sun ray is totally and completely united with the sun. But scientists have recently proved that that's not totally true either. Since about a dozen years ago, they put up these infrared cameras and pointed them at the sun, and they can predict where a sun ray is going to emerge, because there's already some kind of activity before it's emerged from the sun that says, oh, the sun ray is going to come from that spot right there. Okay, so it has an entity of in and of itself, it's just that it doesn't have an entity which is separate from a sun. There is nothing in this world that we can point at and say, oh, that shows how unified Hashem is. For a very simple reason is because the world itself, by definition, is multiplicity.
Right, it's unity.
The whole world, that's the whole point of this world.
Right.
Is that you should be over there and I should be over here. Right. And the physical rule is that no two objects can take up the same space. Okay, so we can't be unified, so we can't really understand how it is that Hashem is totally, completely unified. But we're going to discuss it a little bit. V'kol ma'aminim shehu levadehu. And we, as Jews, have it embedded within us that Hashem is singular and unique, that Hashem is alone. When we say we have the mitzvah of Achdus of Hashem, of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we cover our eyes so that we're not confused by the separation of the world. So we have that deep within inside us. We are ma'aminim, and elsewhere he says ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. He said it before. Ma'aminim means our grandfathers, and b'nei ma'aminim means us. Shehu levadehu k'mei shehaya kodem shenivra ha'olam mamish. And Hashem, now, once the world has been created, is still the same singular entity as once the world was created, the same way as before the world was created.
Right.
Which just, again, poses a big problem for us. Because we understand the concept of displacement.
Right.
If you're sitting there, I can't be sitting there because you're taking that place up. You're pushing away the possibility of anything else being there. Okay? And wherever you walk, you're displacing air. Us being here is displacing space. So before the world was here, there was no world.
Right.
Now Hashem makes a physical world, it takes up space. So we would think that we're displacing God. Hashem had to like push himself away a little bit to make room for us. That's what you might think, but you'd be totally, completely wrong.
Absolutely.
And you'd be setting yourself up for pantheism.
Yes, you
are. Yes.
Indeed.
But it says, K'mo shekasuv, Ata hu ad shelo nivra ha'olam, Ata hu mishenivra ha'olam. It says, you are as the way you were before the world was created, you are the way you are since the world was created. We say it every morning in the preliminary davening. We do not displace Hashem, because Hashem is I don't want to say non-denominational, yes, but Hashem is non-dimensional.
Yes, he is.
So three dimensions isn't going to do anything or you could say Hashem is infinite dimensions.
Mm.
So Hashem is not going to be bullied by us pushing our way through existence.
Mm.
It's not going to affect Hashem at all. Now, so the question then asked
is... He doesn't displace himself.
That's also true. Hashem doesn't take up any space.
Correct.
Question is, how is that possible? Before we didn't exist, and now we do exist. And do we exist?
Yes.
We do exist.
He says we exist. So we exist.
We exist, and there's a very simple proof. In Judaism, if you want to prove anything, the most direct way to avoid equivocation is to quote a pasuk. There's a pasuk. Very famous pasuk. Breishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heaven and the earth.
Right.
What does that pasuk tell us? That's not just a narrative.
No, it's pre-existing.
That tells us that God created the heaven and the earth. The Torah doesn't lie.
Right.
That's like rule number one. The Torah is 100% true.
Right.
The Torah says God created heaven and earth. What does that mean? There is a heaven and the earth.
Right.
So God created it. If you want to go how we exist and whatever, that's for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But our existence compared to Hashem, for all intents and purposes, is a non-entity. He discusses here, he talks about in qualitatively speaking.
Yeah.
But quantitatively, we're a non-entity as well. How big is the universe? We know the universe is probably about 13 billion light years across. And there's probably about 4 trillion stars in the universe. That's what they figured out. That's the current...
ideology.
Current mathematics has kind of fit that in. Okay, when you think about it, in terms of numbers, 4 trillion is not a lot.
No.
How many of those stars have planets? They probably all have planets.
Right.
Okay, some big rock that got sucked into a gravitational orbit. Okay, so how many planets are there? 40, 50 trillion? 100 trillion? Still not a lot. Okay, as far as matter in the universe.
Right.
And as space goes, okay, 13 billion trillion, I'm never going to travel to the end of the universe anytime soon. Unless maybe they develop a shortcut, which they're working on a shortcut, by the way.
Indeed, yes.
Okay, knock off the holes, yeah. Knock off maybe, 6-7 trillion light years, 6-7 billion light years,
There you go.
I can hardly wait.
Sure.
All you have to do is figure out how to travel faster than the speed of light.
Yes.
And we'll be able to do that.
Right.
Which, theoretically, you can. This is an aside, but right. I've discussed this with mathematicians. If you have a laser travels at the speed of light,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you have another laser intersecting it, so that laser is also traveling at the speed of light.
Indeed.
The point of intersection is twice the speed of light. So if you can just kind of like hang out on that point, you can go really far, really fast. You just got to figure out how to do it.
Yes.
Okay. But I'm not a mathematician. So
you don't go do well at hanging out either.
Especially not on points of light.
Indeed,
I'm a little bit big.
Yeah.
Anyway, but if you could, you would be going really fast.
Yeah.
Twice the speed of light. Beam me up, Scotty. Okay. So how is it that
be back already?
Yeah. How is it? How is it? What's the? If you're talking about size rather than quality, which we're going to talk about over here, the size of the universe compared to Hashem is how big?
Infinitesimal.
That's correct. Okay. Now, how small is infinitesimal?
You can't measure how small.
Okay. Now let's qualify that. I don't know if we ever did this.
Mm-hmm.
You have Bill Gates. Bill Gates, the richest man in the world.
Yes.
He's worth $40 billion.
Right. I don't think he's technically richest.
Not anymore? Not this week?
It's like the prince of Dubai is like technically...
He's
second or third, but nevertheless, okay. He's got more cash.
Yeah,
if we wait long enough, then J.K. Rowling's going to be the richest person. Just keep buying Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, go to Harry Potter land and whatever.
Yeah,
right. So, I wish her well. So you got Bill Gates is worth $40 billion. Okay, $40 billion is not really... Oh, what's the analogy? Is he's walking down the steps and he sees a penny in the ground.
Right.
Okay, does he get excited? Ooh, I got a penny! I certainly hope not.
Probably
if he does,
not.
He needs a lot of help. Okay? But is a penny infinitesimal compared to Bill Gates' fortune? The answer is no, because $40 billion is only 4 trillion pennies.
Right.
And 4 trillion is only 4 times 10 to the 16th. Okay? Which I'm writing out like that. That's real small. Okay? So that's not infinitesimal. You have a drop of water compared to all the water in the world. Okay? Is that infinitesimal? The answer is no. Because you can measure the volume of that drop.
Right.
And given the proper information, we could figure out the volume of all of the water in the world. And we come up with a ratio. Okay, it would be 1 to 10 to the 100th to the 100th to the 100th to the 100th power.
Right.
Be this super huge number.
Right.
But, like your kid asks you, what comes after a billion? And you say, 1,000,000,001.
Right.
So you can always got another number.
Right.
Technically,
it's always another number, right? Okay, so that's not infinitesimal.
Right.
What's infinitesimal mean? If Hashem were to create an infinite number of universes the size of our universe, they would all be infinitesimally small.
Right.
That's what the word infinitesimal means. So you see, how much God could we be displacing?
None.
When you're talking about physical space,
none.
We really don't take up a lot of space, much where it even matters. Okay? Pirush, the bottom line of there. Who mamish believes shum shinoi. Hashem is without any change at all. I thought Hashem changed a little bit. There was an infinitesimal change. No.
Zero.
We have another pasuk, and you can't argue with a pasuk. It doesn't say, I am Hashem, I changed just a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I, Hashem, have not changed. Olam hazeh, because this world, the physical world, v'kol ha'olam hazeh yonim, and all the spiritual realms, ein apoilim shum shinei ba'achdusa yizborach behei boram, ma'ayin liyesh, do not affect any change in Hashem's unity with their creation as a something from nothing. And we're not just talking about Hashem's essence. Hashem's essence is not even in the discussion. We mentioned last week that you have the word essence and you have the word revelation. They are opposite one to the other. Essence means for me, etzem, and giloy, revelation, means for you. So etzem is only for Hashem. It's not revealed. It does not manifest itself in any way to us. So that we're not even talking about. When we say Ani Hashem lo shenisi, he's not even talking about that. But rather is talking in the revelation, the aspect of Hashem, which does relate to us. But you can answer, oh, well, listen, we do take up 13 billion light years. That is something, isn't it? The answer is no. It isn't. As far as Hashem is concerned, even the revelation, the amount of godliness that was used to create the world, and how much we're affecting Hashem with these 13 billion light years and 4 trillion stars, Ani Hashem lo shenisi. I, Hashem, didn't change.
Yeah, it's not a question of quantitative, of so much and so little. It's just, there's no change.
Correct. Okay, right. And he's going to discuss qualitative, too.
Right, correct.
Okay. Kamosha haya levadu hu yachidim yuchad kaidim habarim kain hu levadim hu yachidim yuchad achar shabarim. And as it was that Hashem was alone and united and singular before he created the world, made this whole creation, which that's relating to a creator, not just an essence. So Hashem, after the world was created, still remains alone. Why? Mishum dekuli kamei kalo chashiv. V'ka'ayin v'efes mamish. Because everything compared to Hashem is like nothing. And it's like absolute, total, null, and void. Now he mentioned back in chapter 3. Talking about developing there, using your intellect to develop a love and fear of God. And he talks about there, the 10 in chapter 3, he's talking about the 10 attributes of Hashem. And he mentions over there that the emotions are the offspring of the intellect. And says, how do you develop a love and fear of Hashem? You meditate on three things in consecutive order. How Hashem fills all the worlds, how Hashem encompasses all the worlds, and how before Hashem everything is compared to nothing. As he mentions just now right here. Okay, that's the ultimate state of Jewish meditation, is to understand that our existence is a non-existence. So you're right, it's not just got to do with size. Hashem is not just somewhat bigger than the universe. Okay, the universe is infinitesimally small, Hashem is a whole lot bigger. Because what that does then is it just, you're thinking again at that point, drop of water and compared to all the water in the world.
Right.
Okay, we cannot even comprehend that how small our existence really is. Because you're talking about if there's an infinite number of us, it still doesn't matter to Hashem.
Right.
Which I would think an infinite number of 13 billion light years and 4 trillion stars, that sounds like a lot to me, but to Hashem still maintains its kalei chashiv. It's like it's considered like nothing. Now, there's a diuk which is made, which I may have pointed out before. He uses the expression ayin ve'efes mamish. And this expression appears in Tanya quite often. Ayin means nothing, efes means more nothing, and mamish means absolutely.
Right.
What he's referring to when he's using the Tanya is very exact. He wrote it with a tachlis adiktuk. Spent 6 weeks on a vav. If you should put in the word "and" or start a new sentence. And would every time we'd get stuck, would start over at the beginning of the book and review the whole thing until he got to this point and say, well, where do I need to go now? And wrote it in an absolutely concise way, such that Lubavitcher called it the Teresh B'Ksav of Chassidus. Mm-hmm. It's written so concisely that there are in existence several bookcases full of books that explain the concepts which are mentioned in a few words in Tanya. Mm-hmm. Just like the five books of Chumash contain concepts that fill up an entire library. Okay, so the Ayin ve'Efes Mamish refers to the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So that understood that our world is compared to Hashem is like nothing because we're at the bottom. But also Yetzira, also Bria, which those words are, those are called creation. When you get to Atzilus, so at that point you don't even have to say nothing, anything there, because Atzilus, it says already by definition, is Iyu v'chayehu chad, Iyu v'garmehu chad. The definition of Atzilus is that it's totally completely united with Hashem and has no entity of its own and can only be called the attributes of a God. Okay, so even our physical world, which we're referring to as mamish, as absolute, is also compared to Hashem like nothing. Okay. The Hishavis Kol Olamos Elyonim V'Tachtonim Ma'ayin Liyesh V'Chayas V'Kiyam V'Hamakaimam Shelo Yachzur Liyesh Ayin V'Efes K'Shehaya, because the vitality. We're talking about what causes the worlds to exist. All the upper worlds, the supernal worlds, and the terrestrial worlds. They're coming into an existence from as a something from nothing, and that vitality which causes them to and keeps them in existence, that it shouldn't go back to being absolute nothing as it was before, is only the result of the speech of Hashem.
Right.
Okay, what does that mean, the speech of Hashem? When we say, for example, Vayehi Or. And the Alter Rebbe has 12 chapters dedicated to what does that mean? And Shar Yechud Ve'Amuna, stay tuned. Okay, that Hashem said. Now, that's what we're going to focus on. What does it mean, said? Let's look at, and we're using that as an example. The Rambam says, of course, Hashem didn't say anything. It's only an anthropomorphism in order to understand a concept. And, so, for example, why do we say that Hashem speaks? It's because we speak.
Hashem spoke. Well, let me ask you a question. Why is it? Why do you speak?
To communicate. To transfer me to you.
Correct. You got something inside you.
That you want to transfer to someone else.
That you want to get out of you.
Right.
Okay, so in order to relate to an outsider,
right,
you have to speak.
Yeah, communicate, right.
Right. So now, Hashem wanted to create something which appears to be outside of him. So he used the faculty which, for lack of a better word, we call speech.
Right.
Okay, does that make sense though? I mean, it's a very abbreviated way of describing what's going on.
Thank you.
So, example, the person speaks one word. Person says one word. Shadibra, this part's easy. Shadibra zelavadai, kalai mamish, afilu lagavi klaus nevashon nevera, shahu buchinus levusham, sayin shalah, shahu kaya hadibra shalah. This one word compared to all the words that he's going to speak. Okay. This is, how significant is one word that you're going to say in the course of all the words that you're going to say in your lifetime? Not very significant.
Right.
Okay. You can talk ad infinitum. How much is that word significant? Is that one word compared to all of your thoughts? That's an internal, more internalized. Why do you think? Right, because your soul is saying, I want something. And your soul is relating now to yourself. Mm. Well, how do I go about doing what I want? And believe it or not, this might not seem apparent with some people, you have to think every time you talk. Like I say, with some people it might be like, hello, but...
Depth notwithstanding.
Yeah. What's the expression? Motor running, but not in gear, or something like that.
Or lights on, nobody's home.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Just, anyway, got to engage the engine over there to get, you know. And that for sure doesn't even compare to the essence of the soul, which that's the attributes of the intellect, emotions, etc. That one word compared to your intellect is non-significant. Now what has to happen is there's a whole process. That there has to be a certain concept, and you have to want it, and you start thinking about it. You can so describe that over here at the bottom of the page, and you start thinking about it, and then you express, this is what I want to say, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what I want to say. There's a whole process there, which your whole entire, because we are called min hamedaber, that's the category of species that we are. So what makes us unique is that our ability to speak, which means that the essence of the soul has within it the quality of speech.
Right.
Thought is also, we think in words.
Yes.
I had a big discussion with somebody, if we think in pictures or concepts, or we think in words. But just very simple is the way to prove that you think in words, take out some money and start counting it to yourself. Okay? You're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those numbers are going, okay? And if you're Spanish, it's uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, etcétera, etcétera.
Yeah.
Okay? And if it's you're speaking Hebrew, so it's achat, shtayim, shalosh, arba, chamesh, shesh, etcétera.
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's the way your soul is expressing itself. The only difference between the letters of speech and the letters of thought is that the letters of thought are ruchnius vidakas yester. It's more refined. They, as much as they're trying, they will never be able to plug you in and read your thoughts. It's not going to happen. They can tell what type of thought you're thinking. You know, they've figured out that if you're angry, that this certain part of your brain lights up.
Based on emotion.
They're
measuring emotion.
Yeah,
they're still not measuring thought.
Correct. Yeah. It's types. If you're in love, so then this part of your brain thinks it's something that you like. This stimulates to your brain, yes.
Right.
Because the emotion relates to the intellect, to the brain.
Yeah, there's
but the words don't.
They're still measuring the lower half, the lower seven.
Yeah. The words don't relate. Mm-hmm. They'll never be able to put you under a scope and say, where were you the night of the 24th? Okay, yep, that's it. Fine, good.
Done.
You're in jail. Yeah. No, never.
Uh-uh.
Because thoughts are for ourselves. Aval Esther Bechinus Chabad, Hein Shor Shumakar Machshava. The 10 attributes, the intellect, the emotions, are the source of the thoughts. Ve'ein Rechem Oisius Adayin Kenishim Islavish Belovusha Machshava. They do not have any thought, did not manifest any letters in your intellect. For example, L'mashal Kesenai Fallas Eza Ava Vechem De Beliba Shol Adam Kedim Shalom Ehalev L'mayach L'chashav L'her Ba'a. I'm running through it because this is very easy. No point in dwelling on it, because we'll dwell on it again in the next chapter.
Yeah, it's no problem.
When he says, now, what about God? Then we're going to start talking about God. There's an idea. There's something. Okay? You go to the refrigerator. It's 11 o'clock at night. You're thinking, I go to bed. I'm getting a little hungry. What do you want to eat? You open up the refrigerator, and you have no idea what you want.
Right.
Why are you standing at the refrigerator if you don't know what you want?
It's a source.
That's where, you know, something's telling you.
Yeah, it's a source.
Okay. Used to bother the heck out of my mother. It says,
shut the door.
Shut the refrigerator door when you want to know what you want. But I got to see.
I got to figure it out, yeah.
Before you start thinking about it,
yeah.
There's no letters. Did you want what you want? You definitely want what you want.
Yeah.
How do you know what it is, what you want, when you'll see it and you'll start thinking about it?
Right.
He knows he likes this thing.
Right.
And he knows that he wants it, and he knows that if he gets it, it's going to be a really a great thing. But he doesn't know exactly what it is that he wants yet. But he knows the concept, he knows the idea. For sure, even if he doesn't even know that he even knows that he, if he even knows, doesn't even know that he knows that he wants the thing. Like, for example, it says in the Gemara that a person is not a person if he doesn't have a house. Okay? If you don't own a house, you're not a person. So what person wants to say, I don't want to be a person?
No way.
Everybody wants to be a person.
Right.
So, but does a person want a house? There was a period in a time in my life when owning a house would have been a tremendous burden and an unnecessity, if there is such a word, and would have gotten in the way. And if you would have given me a house, I would not have taken it.
Right.
But hey, you're not a person. I don't want it.
Right.
Deep down, I did.
Right.
Because if that's what it takes to make me a person, I want a house.
Right.
I just didn't know it yet.
Well, you may not be ready to
exactly. I was not to the point. Do I want? If you ask me, do you want a house? I'd say no.
No.
If you would ask me at that time, do you want chocolate brownies? I'd say yeah.
No.
Was I thinking about chocolate brownies? I was not thinking about chocolate brownies. I was not thinking about a house. Give me a house. Not interested.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to want it.
Right.
The brownies, at least, I want.
Right.
Okay. The house, I didn't even want to want it.
Yeah.
It's only in his potential of his wisdom and his knowledge. But he knows that something is really, really good. If I can get one of those, I'd be really doing really well. To learn something or to eat something good. We tell you that the Torah ki heim chayenu ve'erech yameinu, and the Torah is vitamin T, and the more you learn, the better off you are. So what does that say? You're walking in the street, you're in the middle of your business, somewhere deep down there, even though you're not really even thinking about it, you want to be sitting and learning. Excuse me, because that's what your neshama wants.
Yeah.
You don't know about it yet. Well, put yourself in a position where you could sit down and say, oh, I got a minute now, I'm going to learn something. As he's going to say right now. Rak la'acher shekvar nifla hachem devetayva beliba. Once it's already fallen, the desire and this lust in his heart. Bekaya chachmasai, I turn the page. Vesichla vidiyasai, in his intellect. And now it's come from the heart and up into the brain. Now he starts thinking about it. And he's thinking now, okay, I want to do something. How do I go about getting that?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be to get the food, or to learn the concept of learn the Torah b'poil, harbekan nil de b'chinas oisius b'maychay. Now what happens is he starts thinking. That's when you start putting into letters. Shehein oisius kiloshein amva am amidabrim milharim b'ham kolin yani olam. And what letters is he going to use? He's going to use whatever vernacular happens to be his, because everybody thinks
in their own terms. Right.
Okay, whether you're looking at a glass of white liquid and saying M-I-L-K, or Mem Yud Lamed Kuf, or Ches Lamed Va Base, or L-E-C-H-E, whatever it happens to be, you're all got the same idea. Oh, that's what that is.
Right.
Because the concept of milk is what the concept is.
Yes.
When you're looking at it, you're saying, oh, milk. Or milch, or chalav, or leche, etc. And then we are actually in the middle of a sentence, but this is where the Alter Rebbe stops.
Fair enough.
This is where we will stop to be continued.